This is the Reading Instruction Show. I'm your host, Dr. Andy Johnson. Let's see if we can learn something today. The topic of today's conversation is balanced literacy, and I call this a balancing act. Now, as I've said many, many times before, if you are against something, you should at the very least know a little something about that something you are against. Science of reading enthusiasts are often against something that isn't. And in this case, they're against what they call balanced literacy, but certainly isn't balanced literacy. It turns out that they're against their own understanding of balanced literacy. So let's define our terms. Balanced literacy is merely balancing skills instruction with opportunity to practice those skills instruction in authentic reading context. And what that balance is depends on the student. Some students need more skills instruction and less practice. Others need less skills instruction and more practice. But all students need lots of reading practice. Could you imagine getting better at anything without practice? For example, could you imagine being able to play the piano if you never practiced playing real music? How effective would your early learning be if you did just scales and fingering exercises without playing real music? Which is a nice transition to this next part called the music of reading. Now, I've sang in choirs and vocal groups for most of my life, but about 10 years ago, my vocal cords became damaged to the point where I was no longer able to sing. But I still wanted to create music. So as I was writing my latest book, I decided to relearn to play the baritone horn. Now, I last played 47 years ago. During my horn relearning process, I began to see many parallels to the reading process. And these parallels provide insight as to what balanced literacy is and isn't. First, both musical and alphabetic text are read linearly from left to right. Both require some fundamental skills work. Automaticity and fluency are required for both. And also the skills with both are acquired best within meaningful context. However, playing the baritone horn is a little more complicated than reading. For example, playing the baritone horn, you have to learn how to breathe correctly, form the right embouchure, interpret time and rhythm patterns, and develop automaticity with your fingering. Now, I hadn't looked at fingering for 47 years when I began, and fingering refers to the combination of valves pressed for each note. There are three valves that can be pressed in eight different combinations, and the right fingering must be correlated with the correct pressure of the lips to produce the desired note. And I found that the fingerings were still in my long-term memory, but packed far back in my cognitive storage locker. So I needed to significantly strengthen the related neural pathways in order to achieve automaticity. Automaticity here was very much like reading. Here, I'd be able to see the symbols on the page and press the correct combination of valves instantly without thinking, automatically. So this automaticity would free up space in short-term memory so that I could focus on meeting, or in this case, creating music. Now, when I started, there were pauses between seeing the note on the page and pressing the correct fingerings. And pauses are not at all good for making music. So to improve automaticity, I initially did a lot of scales work. This was a matter of going up and down familiar scale patterns. And just like reading alphabetic text, I found I was more effective if my eyes focused just a little ahead of the note I was reading. If I tried to read note by note, my scales work was slow and cumbersome. I made a lot of mistakes, and the scales sounded stilted and labored. Also, my scales work was much more effective if I could get a sense of the notes within the pattern before I played them. In other words, micro-predictions enabled me to play more fluently. Perhaps I was engaged in a psychomusical guessing game. Perhaps. Yes? Just like fluency with alphabetic text, I developed fluency with musical text by repeated reading activities and practice. Sometimes I slowed down and repeated the musical text, and other times I pushed the reading pace just a little faster with which I was comfortable. Now, fluency is something that which most musicians will always be working on. Also, there is a causal relationship between practice and fluency. More practice leads to greater music reading fluency. Less practice results in less fluent music reading. No practice at all devolves music reading fluency. So after 2 months of practicing 60 to 90 minutes a day, I am still not at the level that I was 47 years ago, but I'm getting better. But the most profound relearning experience occurred when I moved from scales work to playing real music. Real music sounded and felt much different from playing the artificial scales. The breathing and fingering came easier. My micro-predictions provided a sense of what the note should be, resulting in more accurate fingerings and lip pressure. Also, I played with a greater sense of fluency. But most importantly, I enjoyed playing real music much more than doing scales work. So, the music lessons here. I am not saying that learning to play the horn and learning to read are exactly the same. But there are enough similarities between the two that one can be used to help us understand the other. And most importantly for this context, horn playing can help us understand what balanced literacy is and isn't. So balanced literacy and music instruction are both based on the following principles. One, there needs to be a balance of skills work or scales work, an opportunity to practice those skills in authentic reading and playing contexts. Number two, the balance of skills versus practice is different with each student and changes over time. Three, there is a causal relationship between practice and ability or practice and achievement. Four, practice enhances continued development. Lack of practice impedes development. Number five, practice should be a joyful experience. Number six, students should have opportunities to practice reading and playing what they want to read and play. Number seven, skills work should be within students' zone of proximal development. That's just a little above their independent level to avoid frustration. Eight, one-size-fits-all instruction fits very few and does not enable readers or musicians to develop their full potential. Number nine, automaticity and fluency are important, and they're both developed over time with continued practice. Number 10, the primary focus should be on creating meaning with alphabetic and musical text. And 11, individual skills are developed best in the context of authentic reading and playing experiences. So, the big finish here. And here it is, very simply. Even the National Reading Panel report advocates balanced reading instruction. If you think I'm making this stuff up, look it up. It's on page 2-97 in the section on phonics. This has been the Reading Instruction Show. I am your host, Dr. Andy Johnson.